should start chazering the first two blood. It's a good time. Number one, number two, I think that chazar is an important part of tshuva. Because I think often we don't speak certainly for myself. I don't chazar enough. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Kol ha-shechech mi-talmudai is mischai v'nafshe. If a person doesn't remember his learning, so then, the Mephorshim say, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave shikha. So I could be mischai v'nafshe. So the Mephorshim say, it means a person doesn't take steps to remember. A person doesn't actively try to review. Without reviewing, we're all going to forget. One of the advantages of going to college is that we know that when we want to remember something, we apply very specific techniques to remember it. In other words, we know that before a final, before a midterm, when we're expected to remember things, so we review, and then we use various techniques to review, whether it's highlighting, whether it's notes, whether it's reviewing the notes. So it forces us to be honest with ourselves, that we know what we need to do in order to remember something. And we know that it means reviewing it several times and having set goals for review. So we have to apply to the best of our ability the same techniques when it comes to learning. As the Mishnah means, if a person learns but doesn't apply the same requirements as you would in other areas of study. Sometimes in yeshivas we don't have set goals. We start Rosh Chodesh Elul, and as far as we get, we get. We don't do it. I don't know if any of the study we do that. So, to some extent, learning is different, and it should be different, and it's a different kind of experience, and it requires, to some extent, a much greater involvement. There's no upper limit. In other areas of study, so depending on the context, there's an upper limit. I'm not saying if a person has a particular interest in a particular field, then there's also an upper limit. But if a person's taking a course, right? So there's an upper limit of how much you're going to put into the course. Is when it comes to learning, there's no upper limit. All right, so it is a different limit. I'm not saying it's the same thing. But again, we know what we do. To other yeshivas often they don't say olal datum, to chazer to take notes and then to highlight the notes and review the notes. They never forced to see what it means to be what you do when you need to remember something. So that creates a greater achrayus in itself, a greater achrayus and a greater opportunity. Because at some point we know ourselves well enough to know what we have to do, how many times we have to read it over, and then what expectation we have of ourselves. So I thought it's good to chazer, at least towards the end of the Seder Shmei. So that's number one. It's important to review in of itself. Number two is that it's a certain chibuv, it's a chavivus of Torah. A person reads a novel, so they very rarely review the novel. Sometimes people have a particular shigaon for certain series of novels they chazer many times. But pashas, sometimes you have an interest in a certain area, you read it. But a person chazers one's learning, so then that shows a certain chibur for the learning. And especially because we know chazar is not so exciting sometimes. So, you know, we often push off, we often procrastinate chazar. So chazar in of itself is a good thing. So today and tomorrow, if we can begin the chazara, And then I don't have a clear plan of how we're going to do this, but I think it's important over the course of Bein Hazmanim. So it's important to do two things. It's important to do in Yana Diyoma a mitzvah of two mitzvahs. One is Shloshim Yom Kodem, to learn in preparation for the Yom Tov. And then there's another mitzvah, Hilchus Yom B'Yom, to learn the halachas on the day itself. So that's one din of Talmud Torah that we should be attuned to. But in addition, I think it's crucial that it's difficult, but I think it's crucial to maintain one's mind somewhat in Eilun Aharos, to create a hemshach. However one can do that, whether it's, so Chazar is a good thing, if one will review, again, start with learning the Mishnayos, and then Gemara Rashi, Gemara Rashi Tosfos, going over the Shurim. I haven't focused on it yet, but hopefully maybe through the Shir E group, we'll be able also to enhance the Chazar. And then we get back, Mirat Hashem, then we'll certainly, Lineda will start the next sugya, Be'idna. That's already one of the fundamental sugyas of Kol Midrava Bine. So we'll use our refreshedness of post Bein Hazmanim to dive into the next sugya. Good, I'd like to spend today and tomorrow discussing in Yana Diyoma. So first, is there anything that you want to discuss in terms of Yom Kippur? Go ahead.
Is the minhag of kapparas to do it on Erev Yom Kippur or before to get the money or the tribute?
So the minhag of kapparas, even the Shulchan Aruch has a lashon. The common minhag is to have it done sometime between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And as you pointed out, the follow up of kapparas is to provide for the aniyim. The lashon Shulchan Aruch is mash shenogim lasos kapara be'erev Yom Kippur. So apparently there was that the original minigav is minigayim. Was everybody? There was no refrigeration, so it was Hainuach. And if you wanted the aniyim to have this chicken for Erev Yom Kippur, you had a shecht at Erev Yom Kippur. So it's all Hainuach. But nowadays we've stretched the minute. Number one, if we would do it Erev Yom Kippur, we would not get the chicken to the. So the chayim makes sense to do it earlier. Some places do it Erev Yom Kippur. They probably provide the chickens for Sukkot and not for. I think we can say that now the minhag is sometime a serious Yom Kippur. Say it again.
You can't just do it. Let's say
you're
trying. You can't just
push it. So the we have a kind of mitzvah of tzedakah once we give it over to the gabbai tzedakah. Once you put it in the pushka, I think you make the mitzvah. There's a, and I think it's correct. There's an additional mitzvah, a separate mitzvah, which really applies to sukkahs of Simchas Yom Tov. That my Simchas Yom Tov is complete only if I provided simcha to other people. That's not a mitzvah of tzedakah. That's a mitzvah of simchas yom. It's a mitzvah of tzedakah. I think when it's mekayim, the moment it gives the gabbai, so I think when it's mekayim, the mitzvah of tzedakah. I think that'll be pascha.
Is there a din of simchas yom tov by the pseudo sages?
It's a good question. I have to think about it. It probably depends on. I mean, there's certainly a mitzvah to make sure that an oni has sudim hafsekas. The only question is how do you categorize the mitzvah? Do you categorize the mitzvah as helping the oni fast, or do you categorize this as simchas yom? The pashtus is pashtus. It's not a mitzvah simchas yom. The reason why the question is a good question is because there's a long-standing discussion as to when this the mitzvah of eating an Erev Yom Kippur, is it solely a mitzvah to prepare for the Tainus, or is it also a mitzvah to celebrate the Simcha of Yom Kippur? And the Simcha of Yom Kippur is the Simcha of Kaparas Avonos, and the Simcha of Yom Kippur is the Simcha of the Luchos Shniyos. Yom Kippur is a Yom is a Yom Shel Matan Torah. So Yom Kippur is supposed to have a Sudas Yom Tov. In fact, there's a discussion amongst the poskim. A person had this shaila yesterday. A person has to eat on Yom Kippur. So, do they? It's a shaila poskim. Do they make kiddush? Do they say Yalav Viyova? So we pass and they don't say kiddush. And machlokes where they say Yalav Viyova. It's machlokes whether it's a chasudas Yom Tov. So this year it's a Sudas Shabbos. So it's saying Yalav Viyova. Or do we say the Chazal who established Yalav Viyova in Ritzei didn't establish it for Yom Kippur. So l'chadchila, we paskin, if a person is benching, he says Yalav Viyova in Ritzei. If he forgot to say Yalav Viyova, we don't make him go over it. But we're not mechayev kiddush. Unless all these are all machloikas, they're all quoted by Achronim. So Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. Yom Kippur should have a simcha because of Simchas Kaparas Avodis and Simchas Matan Torah. Doesn't have it. So some Rishonim say, oh, so it's bumped up to Erev Yom Kippur. Numerous nafka minas. Nafka number one is, does it begin Thursday night or Friday morning? That could be. Number two is one mechuyiv to wash, or should one just chiv eat? So that would impact that question as well. That I should make sure that it only has what to eat Erev Yom Kippur, that's poshut. The only question is it a key in mitzvah tzedakah? So he doesn't end up fasting 2 days? I'm mishtatev in his mitzvah Yom Kippur? Or is it an inyan of simchas Yom Tov? So I don't think we go that far to say. Those who say there's an inyan of simchas Yom Kippur, and those who say that the suda is a suda, and there's a key in mitzvah, so they, I don't think we go as far as to say that, I don't think. That the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is mechayiv other people to mishtatev in that simcha. Then the distinction would probably be that the Rambam writes in Simchas Yom Tov that Simchas Yom Tov is when the Torah calls it Mikroi Kodesh. So make that distinction. Ellie?
Sorry, go ahead. Someone should do special for Shabbos.
We don't say Avinu Malkeinu. That's a huge thing. Let's say that's Avinu Malkeinu. What was that?
So I just
thought
it was
kind of
Kiddush Shabbos or anything.
Chol Masayim Moneh, Shabbos Shabbosim, Yom Kippur. But not saying Avinu Malkeinu was a huge. We don't say. Well, we don't say give me the Serachimim, right? Well, I say it because we say Slichas. But many shuls don't, right? I don't remember anymore. Mishul, they say the Yigal Midas by Sosef, but they don't say, no? Yeah. And Shabbos. Was that? Yeah. So I'm saying, but the Shabbos is very much recognized. There's the two huge acts of covered Shabbos. Avinu Malkeinu is the tefillah. The Marantina says was Mukubal. After all of the tefillahs are not Mukubal. Right? The Mikivas and Avalozer. So not to say it is a huge Kavod Shabbos, and the Yud Gimel Serachim is Bris Krusa. Zeinu Chazeres Veikum. So that's huge Kavod Shabbos. That's why it's important to say Slichos, because that way you can say the Gimel Serachim. That's the question of Pirda Hait. Is it the Machlokas and the Gemara? Machlokas Tanom, whether it has to mefaret the chait or not. And then there's a Machlokas Rishon had a Paskin. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Rabbi Akiva, that we are not mechuyev lefaret the chait. But the Shulchan Aruch advocates that it's a good thing to do, even though we're not mechuyev lefaret the chait. Perish of Beradorm is the following, that when we say Vidui, Hashem Nebukam Legazan, that's Vidui. We say al chet shechotanos. The Rama writes, if you and I are saying the same vidui, that's not pirat achet. Even if we are, even if we say the same nusach, even if we list all the hundreds of chatom, pirat achet means that I do a cheshbon nefesh and I say, and I list my the chet that I did. So the Rama writes that Shulchan Aruch says that we're not mechuyv lefarat achet like Rabbi Ashrei kisui pesha, that it is. Mutter not to be mefaret achet. Right? So we paskin that way, and therefore that's the nusach that we have in davening. Nevertheless, the Mechaber writes, even though we paskin Rabbi Akiva, but it's a good thing, he writes this in the Beis Yosef at length. And then he writes it in Shulchan Aruch as well. That is a good thing to do. So, halacha lemasa, I would suggest the following. According to some Rishonim, v'mechuyu lefarat achet. Of the Achronim, the Chayodim advocated strongly being mefarat achet. Chayorim composed Tzvila Zaka, that we say as we begin Yom Kippur, and the Chayorim is the one who really began our whole approach to Vidui. But nowadays, it's already in the Arzkol Machzor, but it used to be separate Kudresim of how to understand each phrase of Hashem the Bagadu, and adding in possible suggestions of Chatom. So all through the ages we had different Mechabim writing long vidui. So the Chidor wrote a long vidui, the Shlomo wrote a long vidui. There are four or five long viduis of Pir Techeit. And the Chayorim was the one who became a very strong advocate of being Mefari Techeit, of passing of those taking the preference of the Beis Yosef. Halacha l'maaseh, I would suggest that one should do both. That a person over the course of Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, over the course of Yom Kippur, a person should say vidui mamish k'moshe kosef, like the Rambam writes, Ona Hashem chotosi visi pashati, asisi kach v'kach. V'nicham to yivoy shtim mamish, the Rambam says. So that's the because the Rambam writes is a mitzvah to do tshuva, and tshuva is vidui, pashtus. So that's what I would strongly advocate. Whether it's at night after Kol Nidre, during sometime Erev Yom Kippur or these days, or sometime with Yom Kippur, or if you have a break, not Yom Kippur, Matzoy Kol Nidre, Leil Yom Kippur, if you have a break during the break, or if there's you haven't had the time yet, so during one of the piyutim, so then we should do mamash tevidu k'moshe kosov. But at the end of Shmon Esrei, so there the Mechaber writes ein tzarch lefarit and rotz lefarit and reshus biyodei v'misvade v'lachash nochin lefarit achet. In the loud Shmon Esrei, there would be inappropriate to be lefarit achet, but in the still Shmon Esrei, in the quiet Shmon Esrei, so there nochin lefarit achet. So what I do is I try to do Pirat Achet before, and either Leil Kol Nidre in the morning, and then what, some of the silent Shmon Esreis, because it's unclear as to, on one hand, if we have time we'll discuss, there's an Indian of saying Vidui in Shmon Esrei. So at least one of the Shmon Esreis, I try to do Pirat Achet. And some of the Shmon Esreis, they davka don't do Pirat Achet, because the Ramaz minig is that certainly kimishpal b'kol rom oshat kishechodeshil ein lefarat achet. So in the private Shmon Esrei, I say, I don't always do Pirat Achet, because there is a mahalach in the Svarim that there is, on one hand, period of chayt seems to be the appropriate thing to do. That's the mitzvah of tshuva. On the other hand, there are those who suggest, the Rav developed this idea as well, that period of chayt could be a very brazen act. This mamish and shmona esrei, you're clapping mala, and you're listing all the different flaws, all the acts of merida. So I go back and forwards. But I think one should try to be fired the chayt at some point.
On
a practical level, I've done a lot of sins since
last
week ever. So, am I supposed to like try to remember? Is that the AA? Go ahead. No. So that's what this week's about. It's to do, to be misbinding.
So on an ideal level, I should remember.
If you hold it, doesn't mean they don't make things up. You misbind it, you think about the things that you take it. The person misbind it, what shortcomings do I have? And take out one of the lists of the Chidah or the Shla. And then remind yourself.
In terms of the requirements for the Tashlis in front of the body of water, or it might not necessarily be true that it has to be in front of
a
body of water?
No, you used to do it by a body of water, yeah. If it's difficult, if you're living in Midbar Yehuda, so you can't find a body of water. But if you're living over here, Hudson's down the road. No, East River's down the road. So you're so close, so the minig is to do it by... that's the common minig is wrong.
Do we need to ask Mechila from or not need to ask Mechila from? Meaning, if there was some kid in first grade who you had a fight with, do you need to ask Mechila from him or
no? Cotton. I don't know if a cotton has to ask Mechila from another cotton. But a gadol has to ask Mechila from a cotton. But he has to wait till the cotton becomes a gadol. Because a gadol can't be Mechila. So, Menachanami, if... So the answer is, to be emesek. That if not to make things up, be emesek. If a person, if you feel that you slighted a person, you know a person is offended, so then one should try to be machil. You should ask mechila. Now, if the person has long forgotten it, and then reminding them is going to aggravate them more, that's the machlekes in the Chavetz Chaim Yisrael Salanter, whether one should ask mechila b'femali, or just do it in a... So we probably take the Chavetz Chaim's approach, that if one thinks that the person has gotten over it, so then I would, or the person may not be aware of it. That the person doesn't know that I said something which was offensive and I attacked or hurt that person. So the person doesn't know that I did that to them. So by asking Mechila, I'm just going to now create aggravation. Maybe it'll backfire. So that's when a person asks Mechila, that's a machlokes between the Chavetz Chaim and Yisrael Salanter. With his shaykh to ask for mechila, the person doesn't know what you did. So that's why we probably pass him that then would ask in a more general language. But some of to go around asking mechila, where you don't think that the last time you spoke to the person was last year when you asked for mechila. So that doesn't make that much sense unless you should have talked, unless that's the problem. They didn't speak to him during the year. But also, it should be definitely.
I see around different shuls that people bring like a sefer with them because it's like a long diary and they're not participating in all of it. What's the appropriateness of bringing any form of reading material to the young people down there?
And these daite, unless I would say the following: unless you have in a general situation, so there's any downtime. Where is there downtime? When people make long mishaberos, that's downtime. A guy got an aliyah, and then he starts going around the whole shul to give him mishaberos. That's downtime, right? Oh, he brought a large family that can't remember all the names of every grandchild. All right, so it's good to have a sefer for that. Where else is there downtime? Is that
during Chazor Shas?
Ideally, one should be. Ideally not. Why? Because ideally that Shmon Esrei is my Shmon Esrei. Those tekiyas are my tekiyas. Those tefillos I will say to my brachas. Right? So, Davka, the Chazor HaShatz of Rosh Hashanah is not... Chazor HaShatz Bechlal, so is the traditional approach is that it's for those who didn't read. I was able to read Baruch Hashem, so I can... So that's not my Shemun Esrei. The Rav held very strongly otherwise. The Rav held that every Chazor HaShatz is a public Shemun Esrei. He held every... Publish every chazashat, every should be listening to everything. I remember when the Rav was discussing this, so he thought it was absolutely hilarious. The Rav, almost uncontrollable laughing, and he would tell that in Boston there was a Jew who would pull out a newspaper during Chazor HaShatz. And he started laughing and never sounded like this. It was hilarious. Because the guys could. Because he said, how are you talking? You think Chazal had that in mind? You think Chazal had in mind that there'd be Chazor HaShatz and every Jew could read would pull out a newspaper? What are you talking? But Rosh Hashanah, certainly, that it's all of our Shemun Esrei. But said, let's say a person can't do it. Let's say a person goes to a place and Chazan is a world famous Chazan. But you don't understand world famous Chazanis. Right? He's doing Gevaldik things. But then people are being inspired. But you didn't read the book. You don't connect. Okay, so then that's a situation where you'd pull something out. Right, in that kind of situation, I would think. So again, that would be, the words are downtime. I don't think there would be downtime. Piyutim, we should be trying very hard to try to figure them out, understanding them. Pulling that so we have an English master to understand it. But that would be Nechanami. There would be downtime if a person if the Chazan is doing classical Chazanis and you don't connect with it at all. Right, I understand.
During what part of the Davening is he doing classical?
I don't have that.
We hold like the road basically that even if there's a lot of Chazanis, we have to be focused.
One should try to be focused. But at each Gvul Cholov, we should try to be focused. There's no question. We should try. But I can imagine that situation. If a guy is doing Hinnani for the third time. So again, I didn't mean to poke fun. There's an art. People understand it. It's inspiring for them. But for you, it's not inspiring. So then, I can see that as being downtime. But there is very little downtime on Yom Kippur. I don't think there's much time to. Again, the only thing I can think of is Misha Beiruchs. Could be the following. Could be, let's say, you finish your Shemun Esrei. That could be. Let's say you finish davening, a nice davening, and then, but you daven at Sibur, where they're going for another 10 minutes. Okay, so then that's a good time to, that would be a situation. There's a famous story about the, yeah. So there are very, very few of those. Right, there is. Yeah, Chilakel is four lines. I find the Chilakel very inspiring. So I wouldn't give that up. I would, but there are very few of those. There are a few lines in Ovis, Yeresi B'tsoisi, there are a few lines here and there. But those lines are inspiring. Chilakel is one of the most beautiful Lashonis. But it's beautiful lashonis. It's beautiful in the schoys. A person who learns Yechel Kel is missing out. The Pesukim are full of the machzer is just full of magnificent phrases and idioms, and so one loses his opportunity. You see the text once a year. It's not really just to enjoy the way a person enjoys beautiful poetry.
Well, on that, is singing Putin better for the Chazan or repeating words considered a hefsek in your bracha of Shofaris?
So I think we've gone overboard in non-repeating. You know, if repeating words to the point of where it doesn't make any sense. So that is a that's a problem. Exactly, what is it, a hefsek? I'm not sure if it's a hefsek. That's already, and then I'm not sure. On the other hand, to repeat it a few times because it creates more service, that's what davening's about. So what's happened over time is because there was a time when Chazanim repeated a lot, and they were on their own, they did not repeat in a way that the tzibur could join in, and so there was a disconnect. So then the Rabbanim came down and said, no repeating b'chlal. So it's gone like overboard now and not repeating. So there could be places that the tzibur could sing along and it would be good as iris. We miss that sometimes. So
it's not like it's not a pasuk, right?
You can't mess up a pasuk, but listen, you say the whole pasuk several times. Uh-huh. That would be a problem. You shouldn't mess something up.
Is
what? Scented deodorant for sure is considered tzicha. Non-scented, I was thinking about that yesterday. I have to think about some more. I have to think about l'chora non-scented is l'havi zuama, but the mechaber says that one cannot do tzicha l'havi zuama. So I have to look into some more.
So we say that by Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, even a holy sheyesh b'shem b'sakana cannot eat less than chatzis shir.
No. A holy sheyesh b'shem can't eat.
Right. So what about the other fasts?
Holy sheyesh b'sakana is part of the fast.
And even having a shir?
Yeah. Shir is only by Yom Kippur. Some posts have l'gavi Tisha B'Av. Shir but Pasha is only l'gavi Yom Kippur. Chol Hashem Sakana is part. The only thing is that everybody who fasts becomes a Chol Hashem Sakana. So it means the Chol Hashem Sakana beyond the fast. It's the Chayyarim, it says to wrap it into the Ashamnas. Ashamna and then say all the Averis of the Aleph. Vaganu and all the Averis of the Beis. That's his approach. But it doesn't matter, I think. I don't think it matters.
Do you see it in English?
So with that?
Do you see it in
Hebrew? Yeah, why not? Yeah. You have to be careful to say, Hare Nichamti Uboishti Alze. So I think that what happens at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you have a phrase, Harei Kichli Malibusha. So that probably is a way of being Mekayim, Harei Nechamti Yavoshti. But L'chor, it's better to say it explicitly, Harei Nechamti Yavoshti, V'nei Chozil Aver Zulol, Mamash the Nusach of the Rambam. The main thing for slichas is to say the Yid Gimel Yisrachamim. That's the main thing for slichas. The Ikur of slichas is the Yid Gimel Yisrachamim. So those who were Mesadar slichas, what they did was, they said that the Raya is Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah, a paragraph, then the Yid Gimel Yisrachamim. That's the Ikur. The Ikur of slichas is to have to grab every opportunity one has to be able to say the Yid Gimel Midas, because the Medrash says that it's a Tefillah She'ena Chazeres Reikah. Now exactly what you do, so the Mesadri Slichas, they put different Slichas and Bakoshas in between every Slicha, between every Yid Gimel Midas Arachim. So is it better to run through the Slicha with the Shlech Tzibur and not know what you're saying, or is it better to say one slicha, look at the English, know what you're saying, and then interrupt and every couple lines and say kel melchi yeshiv? The latter is better, know what you're saying. But the important thing is to say with the tzibur, even with midas. And apparently, you need to have some preamble before you go. You can't just talk it over and over again.
Remember you sort of touched on this?
this might be too long a question for now, but what is the basic meaning that we give this draft other than affecting national consent and diversity, as our school says? And if it's too long for now, where is like a may, like a, other than Ramush Provera's long description of Tora, it's like an English, like just an essay or two
on
just what you know this draft or about?
That I don't know. The Yigumis Rachman and Pashtas are that we are invoking different forms of different aspects of the Baruch Hu's Rachmanos. That's the Pashtas.
So when we say that, we say,
so one shouldn't try to, again, Pashtas. Hashem Kodem Echei, Hashem Leach Rechei. Rachum Machanan is that the Baruch Hu's Ke'ilu defined. It's Rachum Machanan. Rachum is Rachmanos. Chanina is that chanina is one of two things. Either it's to be charmed even if we don't deserve it, or chanina means that we deserve it because of a very deeply, the two different halachim, deeply ingrained kirba to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Erech HaPayim is that Kadosh Baruch Hu's patience. It's not some patience. Erech Apayim means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that we have the capacity to do good. Erech Apayim is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu's he's done us the kaf sechus. He's confidence in us. It's not stam is a batran. The Rav Chesed, that the Gemara said Rav Chesed is that he's mochel on the first two averus of any avera. Right, Chesed. The Emes is the Kadosh Baruch Hu's kulei Chesed. That's the Ramban and Ramban told us, I think, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's kulei Chesed. Otherwise, Emes is not Chesed. Emes is fakir from Chesed. Emes means emptiness of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed. The whole bria is a Chesed. Kadosh Baruch Hu created us to give us Chasadim. That Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us matonas all the time. That's Emes. That's Chesed. Emes is the greatest form of Chesed. They say on Real Pesha, because Baruch Hu is against Moichel. So there's different, obviously different depths of each Shemitah. This form that explain each one a little bit more depth. There is a Mahalach which many, many people like. Lania's diet is not correct. I mean, Gedolim have said it. I have to be very careful. Gedolim have said it. There is a mahalach that raises the question, how could there be a... What's pshat in invoking the 13 minutes of Rachman? It's a magic potion. So there are those who are very troubled by that, and they point out that the Lashon of the Medrash is Yasa Lafona. And then they suggest that the Yidin Pshat Rachman is not really a tefillah, but it's a person who makam on himself to be a Rachman, to be a Chanun, to be Orval Pesha. To model the midas of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So I don't. So this was pointed out by an Adam Gadol Meod of Menachem Kasher. And there's a one of the Hebrew teachers here. This is Kasher. She's still here. So her grandfather was one of the Gadol Yerushalayim, Menachem Mendel Kasher. As a going, again, anthologic memory before computers. So he pointed this out. That the nusach of one of the midrashim is yasa lefana kaseder azeh. So he suggests that that's pshat. Lania's daiti, that's the pshat of that midrash, but I don't think that's the pshat of all the other midrashim. Other midrashim all didn't say it's a tefillah. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the midrash is that itef Kadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. The Kadosh Baruch Hu dressed himself like a chazan when he presented to Moshe Rabbeinu. That means it's a tefillah. It's in the davening like a tefillah. So we are appealing to the various attributes of Chesed of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're appealing to his Erech HaPayim. Right? The fact that he has reason to have confidence in us. We're appealing to Noisem over Pesha. These are all different. When there's a person and you need a favor from the person, so you're trying to figure out how you're going to prevail upon the person. So you figure out that. Let's say if a person has a particular proclivity for, I don't know, for some kind of chesed. So you appeal to that proclivity. See, when you speak to people and you're trying to prevail upon them to do something, then you study them and try to figure out how you're going to appeal to them. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that's already not that, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, David HaMelech said, to teach us there, give us greater Havana. So it means Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, if he give us greater Havana, we can have more potent tefillah. Every day, Rabbeinu Bachaya says, whenever we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak Yaakov, so it's redundant. Elokei Elokei Aviseinu. All right. So we say Elokei Avram. We said Elokei Aviseinu. So why are we repeating Elokei Avram? It's going to be Yaakov. So Rabbeinu Bachaya says Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak Yaakov is not a reference to the Rebbeinu being Elokei Avram that we said already. It's a reference to the Midas HaChesed, because we are appealing to the Midas HaChesed Baruch Hu. We are appealing to the Midas HaGvur, the Midas HaEmes. So that's the Yud Gimel Rachamim. We are, because Baruch Hu was Megala, that he has 13 different acts of Rachmanis, different Nakudas of Rachmanis. One act of Rachmanis is, Chayim Achayit, because Baruch Hu sees our purity. One is, Lachar Achayit. One is, the meat of MS, there's a chesed is kol hakol, everything's chesed. One is erech apayim. So we're appealing to all those different meat of Sarah. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, Echei Ha'egel. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu three arguments. But he said that he said you should be merachem in these people. Why? Number one, that the children of Israel and Yaakov, Hashem nishbat lehem. Number two, you took him out of Mitzrayim. It was the third argument. Three arguments.
What
was
the going to say?
What was that?
What
was
the going to say?
Right? So, those are three different aspects of Rachmanis. They have Rachmanis on them because they have Zchusavas. Have Rachmanis on them because it's a Chil Hashem. If you don't have Rachmanis on them. Right? Have Rachmanis on them because you're already so invested in them. So that's what we're doing also. Because Baruch Hu said that we have ke'ilu 13 different arguments we can present. Just in Rachmanis alone. But you have to, there are svarim that that flesh it out more. But that's the Tasha's
that's the
model.
Why are you
Armenian
for it
then? Why is
that
so? But because Baruch Hu gave us that tzvila, so he was nis'atif kishlech tzivar. So he was megala to us. That a person only has that certain tefillahs are probably so potent that they can only be done in the tzibur. So it means one of two things. Either it means kach and ikus baruch was keveya, that the tefillah only you have to be part of Klal Yisrael, that I as a yochid don't have the schus to be able to prevail on Kadosh Baruch Hu with this powerful tefillah. I need to be part of the tzibur. That's one mahalach. That's one drasha. We can discuss for an hour or so. There's another mahalach. The other mahalach is that it could, God forbid, boomerang. In other words, if I ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to be a noisy oven, it could boomerang. Kadosh Baruch Hu could say to me, no, but you're not a noisy oven. I'm asking, be an erech apayim. I'm not an erech apayim. So then it could become a kitruk. How do we know this? Because the Ramban writes that after the Chayna Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu did not invoke all 13. He only invoked, I forget how many, but he didn't, for example, he didn't invoke Rosh HaChesed Alofim. Why? Because he said that was a kitrug. Here we're going against the he didn't invoke Zchus Avos. Because we were going against our others by declining Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Moshe could not invoke that midah. So for, you see, that Ramban is a mafteach. Because that Ramban shows you the mamash is a tefillah, number one, against this other malach. Number two, that Ramban says that your mamash appealing to different tunas of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu could backfire. So it could be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying it's not good for an individual Jew to part of a tzibur, so you're protected by the tzibur. That could be.
How do most people say that? It's like really, really not something to say it beforehand. So why is that?
So the mahalach, I can say what they say, but I don't understand it. That before chatzos, the midas hadin is sholei. So when there's certain powerful tefillas that will be me'oyre in the Rabban Shalom, but if it's during midas hadin, it won't be good for us. Right? In other words, again, I can tell you the way I understand it, that heyos, that this tefillah could become a kitrug, right? Because Baruch Hu could say, "No, so when were you in Erech HaPayim?" So if it's during the Midas Hadin portion, when the Midas Hadin is sholei, then there's a greater chance of becoming a kitrug. But if it's during the Midas HaRachamim, then there's less chance of a boomerang. That's the... Again, I'm not saying we understand these things, but that's the way we can fool ourselves to think I understand. Okay.
First of all, when it comes to like bowing, how should it be full extension?
I don't know. I do what the tzibur does. I do what the tzibur does. I just the meaning is we come to bow down. The way we do it, just with the Korean, that's the common meaning.
Knees and head.
Knees and head. Knees and head. But not a full. Why is that? Because it's only the Zecher. In Beis HaMikdash was a full Ashtachavoyah. But nowadays it's only a Zecher. So since it's only a Zecher, the meaning is that we don't do a full, we're not doing Yavoyah. We're doing a Zecher for the Yavoyah. I know there are svarim that say on the page of the Mishnah Berurah there's a long discussion about it. And I'm not advocating otherwise. I'm just saying that in a tzibur where everybody does not do ishtachavaya, so I think it's a mechzik yura to do anything but what the tzibur is doing. What's the hezbei davar? It's a zecher. That's what the Svarim say. I mean, that's what it said in some Svarim.
Also, in terms of the two, obviously, is much more focused upon the light. Is there room for, or should we appropriate in terms of precautions?
Yeah, the Chazanish writes, in Layach Shavim Masai, or Shalim Kippur. That should have, it's time for personal precautions as well. So the same thing, the end of Shemoneh Esrei, but you would say one should have his own precautions. Was that? No, not the same. It's the same Hezri, Mlayach Shalim Vasa. So one can have certain during the Yud Gemara Sarachamim. So one should focus on Tshuva and Kapar and Slicha, but one can have other Machshavos and Manof. The Raya is from Etzon Sefer Torah. There, and even the Slichos, but you see clearly, Etzon Sefer Torah, you say, Yud Gimel Serachamim, and your Bakoshes are on other things besides Kapor and Slich. Aside from what? I would say there are companion svarim that walk one through different parts of the avoda. The thumbnail sketch of the avoda is not so complicated. You need a little bit of gaiva, not to be scared by it. So, yeah. I can look at it, I can understand it. So it goes with Mishnayos, you can get a very good picture of, but again, there are svarim that companions, it's Kedai, take the companion safer within half an hour, Lil Kol Nidre, after the davening, you go through it, you get a pretty good picture of the, what you already have. And then, that's one of the highlights of the day. That's as you get older, you appreciate more and more. And when you're younger, so the avoda is like a black hole in the middle of Muslim, right? And then right before the avoda, it's even worse. It goes through the rishon, and then after. But as you get older, so first of all, you appreciate more when the shalma forms faseinu. As you get older, there's more of a pining for the avodas. You appreciate the magnificence of the day. So as you get older, you appreciate more and more. It becomes marikayan for the highlands. So it's kedai. Again, I think in an hour you can get a pretty good sense of the highlights of what's happening.
I'm not very hesitant, but I always seem to be 20 years behind the shift where I'm doing the avodah. And by the time he's done, you know, I'm always behind. So it's a shame, like, miss, like, the chazan's going on, whether we're on board or not. So should I, like, just keep reading it and rush through it to get...
Should figure out why. I'm not sure.
Like, I mean, you should try to understand, like, everything you're actually reading. It's a lot of words out to read. Sometimes, you know, you're reading slowly, and then you just say words. Even in Yeshiva, it's like, nah, it's a lot. It might not pass that thing.
I think with the avodah, it makes sense to try to keep up. If it means skipping some of the payat, certainly at the very beginning, where the payat doesn't relate to the avodah, the long pieces, where you fall behind at the very beginning, and those are not so related to the payat, to the avodah. So I would skip it then, in order to keep up the chazan. I think so. I think if you look at it, you end up skipping a lot of introductory, even at the very beginning, it talks about the 7 days before Yom Kippur. A lot of, so I would sooner skip that in order to keep up with the thing. So,
the whole scene you're sitting in parts of Chazar, is it like you're you stand up?
But it has to be concerned about it. Couldn't very well be. Couldn't very well be. I think if you look around and everybody's sitting, then it would be an issue. And on the other hand, people stand up sometimes out of comfort. But in a chanami, if it's a situation where you would be the lone stander, so that is an issue of
security. Similar to what Josh was saying, would there be anything wrong, since I also would fall behind and I have no idea what I'm reading, and I'm reading it only in Hebrew, is there a problem just reading all the avodah only in English?
It's not a bad idea. The pi, it's a very difficult pi. So say it in English.
It's better to say it or just like to read it?
I have to think about it, but I think as long as one actually reads a good chunk of it, which you're going to do anyways, because you're going to read the parts of the Kacho Yomoyer, Kacho Yomer. So again, if the introductory piet, one reads it without saying it, well, I don't think it's a problem. The introductory piet is a piet. It's about very far-reaching. So I don't know if there's a... As long as there are significant chunks of it says, sort of the parts that are mamish describing the avodah, that would just say. But a lot of the introductory paragraphs are not.
The paragraphs that are mamish in actual avodah, do I have to do that in Hebrew, or could I do that in English?
I have to think about it to be sure. I think the parts that you say with the tzibur should be said in the lashon of the in Hebrew.
So, the listener, let's say the person's davening Yechidus, so they don't see a Gimel Nisah.
Right.
If you say the paragraph Gemara or Kol Yisrael Kizrachim,
do you say that? You can. The reason why not? That's. And you can say that you use Hirachman as if it was in the Pasuk. You can say it's part of the Pasuk with the Chav. Take it to Chumash and say the full Pasuk.
Should I try with the Sephardic version of the
Avodah?
It's like shorter and much
more
Hebrew.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but I grew up with that, but I don't remember it. I'm not I haven't studied it carefully enough to have an opinion. I don't know. Then again, yeah. If I'm giver, if one holds the minutam, if one said I'm going to try to be macher for minutam, so I don't know if you have to be macher when you're giver. But if one said I'm going to try to keep minutam shita. Yeah, then.
This year anyway.
What's that?
This year anyway. It's Shabbos.
No, I don't think there's a distinction between if a person said I want to keep a longer Shabbos, but lav dafka Yom Tov, then we're saying it's correct. But that'd be very, it'd be a strange Kabbalah.
Because one has to say to feel a zakah after the solution. So I guess, I mean, once you feel a zakah, like, you accept the giver, you know, or like, when you always say it before, like, you don't drink it out.
Well, you can say it earlier, as long as you're not machaven lekavo. At the very end, the lashon, the lashon is be careful not to say. But as long as you have kavana,
in the middle that says like now I'm accepting upon myself, I can kippur with the kol. So if you say,
better not to say that. Those phrases. Yeah, but if you have in mind not to say not to makavo, so then machoyin not makavo. Let's point out, Aleph. Kishiyasa tshuva, v'yoshu mechetoi, chayom l'svados, lifnei kel baruchu. The Rav used to point out that this is a classic case of a ma'isa mitzvah and a kiyah mitzvah. The kiyah mitzvah is yasa tshuva, and the ma'isa mitzvah is chayom l'svados. Kiyah mitzvah is Yehuri Tshuva, and the Maisa mitzvah is expressing beauty. You obviously compare it to Kriyashma. Kiyah mitzvah is Vekabal Machshamayim, and the Maisa mitzvah is actually saying it. So we're not going to go into that right now, but let's point out what we began the other day. See the Ramah writes Ezui Tshuva. So that the person is Amir Nisayim. Umahu Tshuva. Shiyazav achotei chetoi, v'yasur mimachshavtei, v'yigmor b'livoi shelo yaseyu od. All right, so then we began to point out various discrepancies between the text over here and in Halach Aleph. So we don't have time now to examine everything, but let me just point out one ha'orah. What's pshat in v'yasur mimachshavtoi? V'yigmor b'livoi shel yaseyu od. Yasur mimachshavtoi. So I suggested that when the Rambam records ikaru shel vidoi, it says, Vidui ze mitzvah sasei, Ketan misvadan omer ono Hashem, Chotosi avisi pashati lefanecha. So first of all, Vidui, he's addressing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But he says, Chotosi avisi pashati. So Mincha Sinach asks the question. He says, Chet is Peshaygeg. Avisi is bemezid. Peshati is merit. So, which is it? Chatosi visi peshati. Lefanech. Vasisi kach v'kach. So Minchas Chinuch says that in Achanami, the Rambam means one of these. When a person is doing tshuva, so if a person made a mistake, so he has to think back, how did I make that mistake? So if it was b'shoyeg, he says chotosi v'sik afakach. If it was b'meizid, he says avisi v'sik afakach. That's the Minchas Chinuch's pshat. You get to choose. We mentioned, I think, last year that l'chor, that's not the Pashas HaRambam. Pashas HaRambam is Chotosi Visi Peshati. So, how do we learn Peshat? L'chor, we can't have all three of the Shonos. So it suggested that there's a, one of the Al-Chaits is Al-Chait Shechotonu ba'ones u'birotzen. Chaton that I did unwillingly and willingly. Ba'ones u'birotzen. So again, probably the pashtus is al chet chaton that I did either ba'ones or I did birotzen. When the Goin says in the Sidur Agra, there's a one of the meforshim is called the Pnei Aryeh. So he explains that there are onsen that could have been prevented. If a person was able to play out in his mind what's going to happen, so he could have prevented the onus from happening. B'shas masa, when it happened, I was bonus. Yeah, there's onus mamash, onus gomer. If a person's in a situation where he got stuck in a situation totally beyond his capabilities, and he got stuck there, all right. But then this Mephorah says, but there are sometimes situations, b'shas masa, I was an onus. I wasn't able to daven. Couldn't daven mitziv. B'shas ma'is, I got stuck. I had no way. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a... But if I would have worked at my day better from the very beginning, so I wouldn't have been in this situation. Yeah, that's a... So the Pnei Aryeh says, that's pshat and onus. It doesn't mean onus or ratzon. It says, the onus that could have been preventable. He quotes a Beir Agro, an apostle in Mishlei. So I was wondering if that could be the pshat. This Mephorish says that's pshat in Atoyo Idea Kol Brazi Olam V'Sisre Talumis Kol Chai Ato Chofeis Kol Chan Reivote. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees all the hidden things. Talum is kol chai. So he suggests, that's pshat, that there are times when things could have been preventable, right? And meidach, one could suggest, there are times when a person ends up doing something willingly, but it's really born out of some earlier shogeg, some lack of understanding. And I end up doing something that I shouldn't do, but it's because I didn't fully appreciate the significance of something. Like a form of a tinuk shenish, that kind of thing. So I was wondering, that's pshat and chotosi visi pshat. That's what the Rambam wants us to understand. He wants us to analyze any particular flaw that we have. And it could be a mida, person is too brash, too, whatever it is. So to appreciate that it's most likely in any particular tikkun that we want to make, there's an element of chet, an element of zod, an element of shkoga, an element of zod. Irrespective of exactly how the chet was done. But there could be a person, whatever it is, a person is easygoing, let's say, on covered Shabbos or something. So when he decides to dress down to midday Shabbos, so he knows what he's doing. But there's an element of shagoga, because if you'd really appreciate that this is offensive to Shabbos, he would do it. Right? So that's something that's done b'mezid, but it's born out of a shoyget. Me'idach, as the Gemara says, sometimes you can have something that is b'shoyget, but it's born out of a mezid. For example, let's say a person doesn't made a mistake in the figuring out when Shabbos is going to start this week. They end up b'machal Shabbos shoyget. They looked at last week's calendar and they didn't realize that they looked at the wrong day, last month's calendar. Looked at the wrong box in the calendar. So mamash b'shoigeg. So the Bali Musa say it is b'shoigeg, but if they had to catch a flight, so then they check the ticket several times, right? You make sure you get the right terminal and the right location and the right. So the mice was a shoygeg, but because he wasn't so concerned, so nervous about it, as nervous as he would have been for something that's very important to him, that's why it happened. So that's, I think, what the Rambam is saying. I thought it would suggest. When chaschinus mahalach is chatos in Israel, he choose. Maybe what the Rambam is saying is that if there's some flaw or some error or something I did wrong or something which I want to correct, so I will correct it if I analyze the root. And if there's and maybe, not always, maybe there's some element of shkoga that even though it was the mass, I knew what I was doing, but it was based on some misunderstanding or the hefech. That the masa I did it b'shoigeg, but there was an element of passion involved, and that's how a person can make a tikkun. So I thought that might be the way to reconcile this text with Perek Beis, the Yisurim Hashavtei. A person can only mamish remove from his thinking if he introspects with some depth and tries to figure out. Person has a midah, they want to correct that midah, so a person most likely will not be able to correct that midah as a person gets angry. So most likely he says, from now on I'm coming to make it angry. I'm not sure if that'd be successful. But if he tries to figure out what are the situations where he loses it, when is it, what are his, what do they call the buttons that they get pushed. He tries to figure out, or it could be that he is more accepting of the meat of kas than he should be. If you really see the meat of kas as being something that is like an ugly meat for tzelem elokim, so he wouldn't get involved with it. So that's pshat in yesirim machshavtei. A person can only be moved from machshava if one has fully understood oneself. So that's the that might be the pshat of here. It's important to keep in mind, one of the most important things about Yom Kippur is to keep in mind that as the Rebbe used to always point out, that he would always point, he said, we always finish off before Yom Kippur is Birchas Kedushas Hayom. And he said that's the way that his grandfather would that Rav Chaim would extend to people before Yom Kippur, that the opportunity of Yom Kippur, the Chazal point out, Dirshu Hashem b'Yimotzei, is this whole period of time. The Beir HaDavar is that Kadosh Baruch Hu has created a certain grace, a certain character of these days, that a person feels a greater cue to the Rabbonu Shalom. It's the closest to the Rabbonu Shalom that allows a person to be more introspective, to take greater risks. And if you're nervous about a relationship, then you don't take any risks in the relationship. But if you're confident in a relationship, then you're willing to take certain risks. So the concept of Dirshu Hashem b'Yimotzei is that Hashem Baruch Hu is saying, you can take a risk, you can say vidui, you can say Nechama Busha, you can introspect, try to understand yourself better. But when it's the most important, certainly at your age, the most important is the opportunities of kapara, not kapara, of kedusha, the opportunities of feeling a sense of kibbutz to Rabbonu Shalom. So that's one of the ideas that we have uppermost in one's mind during the davening, is to look at the different parts of the tefillah that where a person is able to express, and one sees an expression of that sense of kirva. So tomorrow, Mitzvah Shomer, again, we'll chazar in the morning, we'll shir at 12 o'clock tomorrow, Mitzvah Shomer, and we'll discuss the morning of the afternoon.